The first scripture reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 9 through 12. Starting from the day you put the sickle to the ripe grain, count out 7 weeks. Celebrate the Feast of Weeks to God, your God, by bringing your freewill offering. Give as generously as God, your God, has blessed you. Rejoice in the presence of God, your God, you, your son, your daughter, your servant, your maid, the Levite who lives in your neighborhood, the foreigner, the orphan, and widow among you. Rejoice at the place God, your God, will set aside to be worshiped. Don't forget that you were once a slave in Egypt, so be diligent in observing these regulations. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second scripture is from Colossians in the third chapter. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. This is the word of the Lord. Of course, unless you're under a rock somewhere or recently moved to this country, this week we all know we're going to celebrate that national holiday called Thanksgiving. The irony of it is that often very little Thanksgiving takes place on Thanksgiving Day. We're usually very busy doing everything else on Thanksgiving Day. We're preparing a big dinner, we're cleaning, we're watching football, we're entertaining or going out to eat, we're talking with friends and family, we're reading sale catalogs for Christmas shopping season. Often the only thanks that's given is a 1 or 2 minute prayer right before the big meal. So today I want to talk about making Thanksgiving, not only the holiday, but the lifestyle, more meaningful and special. Now, if we go to the Psalms, many of the Psalms talk about thanking God with song. But I know some of you are prison singers. That is, you're always behind a few bars and you never have the right key. But the Bible says, as I always try to remind people, make a joyful noise to the Lord. So you just go on making that noise. Now, some people come to the worship services for the message, but if it's just for that, you're cheating yourselves because you cannot maintain a healthy spiritual life on preaching alone. You need to have more than just a good word to think about. You need to express your faith, and singing is a wonderful way to do that. Music is the language beyond language that can express far more than anything we can say. It's kind of a, you know, left brain, right brain thing. And you need both of them in your life. If you don't involve yourself in both the receiving the message and expressing it in joy and praise, you're spiritually starving yourself. So sing the Thanksgiving when in Thanksgiving for with joy and for all those many blessings you've received. Even those, and maybe especially those, that come when you are walking a dark road. God never promised that we would not suffer. God promised to be there, to light the way and to show us how to sing, even in the dark. And then turn and sing for others a song of hope in dark places, a song of joy in the midst of happiness and contentment. The scriptures also tell us to stay close to God in all circumstances and to be open to God in prayer. You see, prayer is the original interactive network. It's the number one way to stay close to God. And when we open ourselves to God in prayer, in an attitude of thanksgiving and trust, the more we are able to receive the blessings God wants to give us. For you can't receive anything from God or from anyone else when you're in a tight ball of fear and worry. Once there was a very little girl who would not wake up in the morning. Her mother thought, well, she must be really tired, so I'm just going to let her sleep a little. And at 8:30, the little girl was still asleep, and so her mother went up to wake her up, but the little girl would not wake up. The mother pulled back the blanket, you know, that old trick, you know, rip the blankets off, to try and rouse her, and she found an open bottle of baby aspirin in the bed and little aspirin all around her child. Immediately, she and her husband rushed their daughter to the ER. And the little girl was groggy, but sort of awake, so there was some hope. They needed to pump the little girl's stomach, but she would not cooperate. She thrashed and cried something awful. And then a big, tall orderly, who looked sort of like a Marine, came up and said, "Let me hold her." He calmly took her in his big, strong arms and said, "Sweetheart, you're sick, but if you let me hold you, the doctors will make you well. You need to open your mouth. It will be hard, but I will never let you go." They went into the operating room and pumped the little girl's stomach. And when things got hard, the orderly held her and patted her and spoke soothingly to her. And when it was over, the little girl threw her arms around the neck of the big, strong orderly. Her life was saved because she was able to trust this big, strong man and open her mouth. Sing thanks to God, and when things get tough, trust God and open yourself to God. Only then, when you are open, can you truly receive the peace, forgiveness, and hope that God so wants to give you. Our scripture from Deuteronomy tells us that thanks and giving go together, and we should do it together as family, you know, extended family. About 350 years ago, a group of people from England, we call the Pilgrims, decided to do just that. They decided to set aside a day in the fall to thank God, bring an offering to God, and feast with joy with the faith community. But not only with the faith community, but also with the native peoples who had helped them in so many ways. Today, we know it as Thanksgiving, and we celebrate it as a national holiday. However, the reason it is a national holiday, and not just remembering what happened in the past, but something we do ourselves, is that after the suffering and horrors of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln thought we needed such a day, and so he proclaimed the first national day of Thanksgiving. But all of this is predated by a command that God gave his people 3,000 years ago, a command to set aside a day in the fall for Thanksgiving. You heard about it when we read Deuteronomy. It's still celebrated among the Jews as the Festival of Weeks, or the Harvest Festival. It's a day when they bring an offering to the Lord to express their thanks and share a common meal. So we, like the Pilgrims from England, are doing what God instructed the people to do 3,000 years ago. Please note that the last phrase in Deuteronomy says, "Rejoice before the Lord, your God, you, your sons, and your daughters." God wants us to involve young people in this time of Thanksgiving, our own children, our grandchildren, and the young people of the community. The Bible says that we are to train young people and to teach them about God. We need to teach young people the real meaning of Thanksgiving and other religious holidays because no one else will. Or as, who is it, Bart from The Simpsons says, we've lost the meaning of Christmas, the birth of Santa Claus. Yeah. We do this so that when we go through tough times and their faith is tested, they can remember when God worked in their lives and the lives of others and know that God will help them again. Which brings us to the fourth way we can thank God. If you've ever seen a legal trial, you know what testimony is. Testimony is not what the lawyers do. Testimony is what the witnesses do. A witness is not trying to convince anybody or trying to pressure for a decision. A witness just says, this is what I saw. This is what happened to me. This is what happened in my life. Nobody can give your testimony but you. You are the authority on your life. If you do not tell people how God has worked in your life, nobody else will. You know, it's much easier to tell your story if you write it down. So go home today or sometime before the end of the year and write down how God has worked in your life. It's your story, and it's unique. Go ahead, even if your story is far from done. If you're older, put it in your family Bible or someplace where they'll find it for your great-grandchildren. But better yet, whatever your age, tell your friends and your family your story now. Maybe you will have a word of encouragement that is more relevant than you could ever imagine. And older folks, moms and dads, grandparents, aunts and uncles, teachers and coaches, if we don't share our story about how God is working in our lives, faith seems dead to young people. They don't have the long view in the rearview mirror like we do. They still think that they can overcome all challenges by themselves. That's what our culture tells us to do. Or worse yet, they've given up trying because it's just too hard and there are so few role models. You be a hero in some young person's life just by being a survivor of the challenges they now face. You have lived to this age. You have completed school. You have been married or you have remained single. You have had a career. You've done it. You've crossed the finish line. However, even if you fell over backwards, you did it. They haven't done it yet. They're not sure they can. Be vocal and intentional about sharing your story because they hear too many stories of evil and despair. They hear too many lies and excuses. While you're at it, your friends and neighbors could probably use a good word too. Maybe you don't have all the answers. Perhaps you're in the thick of it and are facing some of the same challenges yourself. No matter, it's great to have a hand to hold in the dark or a glance over to see a familiar face during the storm. People of God, we have all figuratively been held captive in some way or another, and we all need to hear a few stories of healing and triumph. Don't let evil and despair have the last word. There is a story of a deposed queen of an ancient land who sent her son to reclaim the crown from a tyrannical usurper. The boy asked, "What message did she have for the usurper?" And she answered, "You are my message." The power of evil is the usurper, trying to rule God's world. Yet every one of you is God's message to this beleaguered world. Don't ever think that your testimony doesn't count, because it does. There is someone, maybe several someones, who like the same things you do. They think the same way you do. And your story is going to be just right for them. Make sure you give thanks to God by sharing your story of what God has done in your life. You know, Thanksgiving is not just a day on the calendar, but a lifestyle to be lived, even in tough times. We can give thanks in all circumstances, as St. Paul says, because we are not alone, even in the midst of crisis. God is there, working in your life, even if you don't see it. Your church family is there. Maybe you haven't called them in yet, so call them in. That's what we're here for, but we can't help if we don't know. Maybe you're lucky enough to have supportive family, friends, and neighbors. They're a gift of God to you, and you are a gift of God to them. So give thanks that God is there and has sent some beautiful people into your lives. Sing to God a song of thanksgiving. Be a person of prayer. Open yourself up to God with praise and thanks. Thank God by giving your whole self and all that you have to God. And go out and tell your story, because someone is spiritually starving and you have just the right spiritual food. Maybe not for that person, but for that person. Don't be shy. God will show you the right moment. Timing is everything, and the Spirit will help you speak. So look around that Thanksgiving table this year and know that God is working in your life, and give thanks in word and deed. Amen.